getting drunk for election night. No problem.
I'm not getting drunk. I'm just having fun.
We had a conversation during the 100-mile ride.
Do you want to introduce me? Do your friends already know who
they
I am?
They know who you are.
Andy DeFina, Matt Kirkner.
Andy DeFina, Matt Kirkner.
Hello. You know Andy from the 150/170-mile ride.
Congrats, by the way.
Yeah.
Thanks
so,
for your support.
We were talking about, we had a disagreement that turned out being
this is a debate.
No, not a disagreement. Okay. So it ended up not being a disagreement, which was, we both like setting like big long-term goals.
Yes.
High, lofty goals. And one of the ones you mentioned was financial freedom, which is a giant goal, obviously.
Every man's goal. Should be every man's goal.
Yeah.
And woman.
Yeah.
And grandma.
So what I wanted to... What I want to say is, does your version of financial freedom include like free time to do what you want? Is that what your version of financial freedom is? That's part of the question.
Of course.
Good question.
Yes. I would like to do what I want with
my
time.
So it's not just making a shit ton of money. It's being able to be free to do what you want to do.
Yeah. I guess I understand your question. I can... try to explain what I think.
That's
yeah.
good.
So, some people want to make a ton of money, like investment bankers, but to do that, they have to commit hours of their life that they'll never get back, and they might die young and not get to spend their money. Obviously, that's not what a reasonable person would want.
Yeah, but that's what a lot of people strive for.
I don't.
They may enjoy the mental.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a challenge. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's all I had.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people strive for just making a ton of money.
Yeah. Because it's status. There's a status attached to the amount of money you make and how big your house is and how nice your car is and where you go on vacation. And you get wrapped up in that competitive stream. Like you're trying to constantly one-up your neighbor or one-up your... you know, the person you went to college with or your coworker. And that's what drives us.
You can get caught in that.
Competitiveness definitely drives us. But setting a long-term goal might help bring you back to where you actually want to be. So you could be super competitive and achieve so much financially and still in the back of your mind remember, you know, I still don't want to spend 90 hours a week working. I want to have some time to spend with my family and my kids. And that's having that long-term goal in the back of your head, knowing, you know, even though it's going to take a ton of work to get this raise, maybe that raise is going to take me away from my real passions or my real, you know, the real things I want out of life. So,
yeah.
Can I ask a follow-up?
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's the whole point.
So what, because... the goal may be to have financial freedom, and what if you get short-sighted 5 years down the road because you're now on the path and you're now spending, you don't even realize that you're spending more and more and more and more time.
Working.
You know, the 50 hours becomes 60, becomes 70, becomes
80. That was my follow-up question.
How do you
really?
Yes. Yeah, so
how do you get out of the hole?
Yeah, my follow-up question
how do you prepare for that?
So that's your goal. Is the path you're currently on leading you in the right direction for that goal of financial freedom?
I will give you the best answer I can off the top of my head.
No, just think about
I'm like, thinking about it. What comes to mind is, like, in any business, you have your best outcome, your worst outcome, and then the middle of the road outcome. So, like, best case scenario, my plan goes perfectly to a T.
Yeah.
You know, I am able to identify the opportunities that as they come, and I'm able to get the job I want, and I'm able to, you know, spend or have the work-life balance I need. You know, worst case scenario, I get caught up in 5 years down the road, I'm working a job I hate, but I'm still making money.
Yeah.
So I can still make an adjustment at some point. And, you know, when you tell that story, like, oh, for 10 years of my life, I just, you know, spent grinding things out, doing things I hated until finally I realized, you know, I have the money in the bank and I have the experience, you know, to go along with it. I can take what I've learned and I can use that to start my own thing.
Yeah.
That's not a terrible story in itself. You know, and if you're somewhere in between the two, between making, you know, the right choices and the wrong choices and learning from them, you know, you're probably like everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're learning from some of your mistakes, you're making the same ones, and you're not exactly where you want to be, so.
Yeah, I agree with that. And a lot of people get caught up in it, but that goes to something else we talked about on that same topic in the ride, which is it's good to have those lofty long-term goals, but do you personally have short-term goals, like in the meantime goals that are leading you towards that long-term goal? Do you have those incremental goals that you're working on right now?
Personally, I have ideas. Like before the pandemic started, I was registered to take the LSAT. I thought that becoming a lawyer would help, you know, with the current industry I'm working in, which is real estate and real estate investment. But pandemic happened, and studying, you know, you think you'd have more time with, you know, less work. But
you think
somehow less time because you're spending more time with your, not that this is a bad thing, but you're spending more time with your loved ones. And when you spend time with your loved ones, all of a sudden, you know, binging Breaking Bad or whatever Netflix show or going on a hike in the woods looks a lot more appealing and is a lot more appealing than studying for an LSAT or whatever other thing you're trying to, you know, reach for. So short-term goals, like, yeah, like higher education, you know, making yourself more appealing to, you know, employers, making yourself better suited to start your own business. Those are things you really have to start doing as soon as possible. If you're anyone, like you have to look at what the field is that you want to get into and what your competition is and what kind of education they have and what kind of skills they have. And if you can identify those things and become, you know, you can mirror them and become, mirror them at a lower cost than they did, you'll be light years ahead.
A quick follow-up, like you talk about you're getting yourself better prepared to be in a position to start that business, to become financially free. I feel like that can be one of those someday traps, like someday I'm going to be ready, but that someday might never come. What's stopping you from doing something or working more towards that goal right now?
What's making,
and not to, I don't mean to put you on the spot. No, that's fine. It just came to my head.
It's fine. Why am I not financially independent now?
No, it's not why are you not financially independent right now. It's I meant that, like, whatever your end goal is.
Yeah.
Being
my own boss, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
do you have an idea of, I guess, do you have an idea of what being your own boss looks like? What you'd want to be doing? Because if so, what kind of steps could you take right now towards that versus getting prepared to take those steps towards that? Is this something you could do right now?
I think that I could dedicate more time to helping the people I care about and the people that have cared about me. I think, you know, being my own boss doesn't just, you know, mean like making money to support myself. It means being there to support the people that are going to need me. So I was really, really lucky, like both of you guys.
Yeah.
I had a really great support system. My parents were there for me every step of the way. So, like, I, to this day, cannot get along with my dad when he's doing his, you know, do-it-yourself projects, because he does things, you know, his own way, to say it the nicest way possible. But I was thinking about it today. I was like, you know, I could, with all this free time, I could dedicate 8 hours and just be his bitch, you know, and let him tell me what to do and be there for him. And if I did that over the course of the next year or something, he would appreciate that more. You know, I don't know if it could happen, but like that kind of just being there for someone. And that's, you know, it doesn't sound like you're being a boss, but that's what, you know, taking care of people is about and being, you know, but that's what I think my future has in store for me. It's like being of, not like, you know, being of service in a sense, but also taking care of the people you really care about, and having the resources to do that.
But I guess this is a little bit personal, but I think we can confuse being there for our loved ones and taking care of them with like wasting time, and not wasting time in like a sense of,
checking
a
box.
Yeah. Like, did I have to binge 12 hours of no, Breaking Bad?
Absolutely
like,
not.
No. Is there something been doing?
Enriching my life?
Even
yeah.
Six of
course.
Those hours.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Going towards something.
Of course. Yeah. But I'm not going to sit here and pretend I have like the ability to understand the female mind. And
we don't need to talk.
And I'm just saying. No, cut. I'll get to it. Let me save it. I got it. It's fine. Let me just finish. Stop. Let me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But, you know, that is what my significant other likes to do. She likes to spend time with me watching TV. She really enjoys it. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And in a time like this, right, in this time of uncertainty, it's really easy for me to just say, you know, we're doing this because that's what she wants. It doesn't cost me a lot of money. I'm not going to be exposing us to any, you know, buddy who might be sick. And, you know, like there's already so much stress in our lives. So, I mean, like we're not like binging 12 hours of Breaking Bad is impossible because, you know, I can't do that. But we do watch too much TV at night, in my opinion. We could be spending it doing things that would enrich us and help set a better, you know, groundwork for future endeavors.
I asked that from a selfish perspective because you called me the other day after our stream and you had like 12 different great podcast ideas.
Yeah.
And your mind is always working overtime. And I feel like you're like, there's something that if you decided I'm going to put my mind towards this and I have fun doing this, you could easily turn that in, like easily monetize it and turn it into something awesome.
Yeah.
So
versus just being a cycle where you just think of ideas and you don't do anything with
it. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And not just that, but like you talk about financial freedom as a goal. And I just wanted to ask, that's what spurred it. I wanted to ask what you're doing towards that goal, because on the unmotivated habits side of things, like I think we should always be working at least somewhat towards those big goals. And it's one thing to have the big goals to be financially free. It's another thing to be doing something to get there and not just quick takes. What is the most annoying thing that all of your partners do? Go.
Who is that?
That's Richard.
Your interaction here. This is an intervention, Richard. That's what's going on right now.
Single free, so I don't have to answer this.
Pass. I'll let Andy go first.
All right.
Get up there, Andy.
What is it? What's your Richard? Quick takes. What's the most annoying thing that all of your partners, like, they all have to do with the same thing, or we're just gonna name individual issues? I think that, you know, I get a really, I don't know. Can't even think of anything off the top of my head. She loves me too much. It's probably the she showed up the other day. No, I got one.
Christmas card.
Yeah, exactly. It's tough to sometimes motivate your partner. I got one that you probably have dealt with too. It's tough to motivate your partner because you're her partner. You want to be your partner's friend, you know? And like a friend is supposed to be there to like, you know, just, yeah, like say you have a bad job interview, right? And you showed up late and it didn't go well and the interviewer didn't give you the time of day. If that's the case, you know, this person, your friend's telling you the story, your reaction as a friend could be, you know, just, you know, fuck that guy. They don't know what they're missing. But as a, you know, as someone who wants to motivate or help someone, you might say, well, showing up on time and it's a big thing when it comes to a job interview. The line, the distinction between, you know, having their back and supporting them.
And telling it like it is.
And telling it like it is, right? The hard truths. It's tough. It's a balancing act. And you got to, even if you don't pick your battles right, you're just allowing it. You become an enabler. So I don't know.
All right. And on that note, I'm going to pass on that question. That's a good answer, though.
Pushing your so to be better.
Your significant other with
you and your abbreviations.
How do you balance pushing your significant other to be better with supporting them? So I think that's what you're going for. He said he's trying to paraphrase your
support system for your partner.
No, that, he's paraphrasing your answer that you it's a balancing act between being supportive and pushing.
He thinks that's what you're going for.
Yeah, yeah, that, and I can't articulate myself. I think financial freedom takes a lot of the pressure off of someone to be a support system for your partner, because if you have the financial freedom to allow them to explore the things that they like and their passions, and you can just support them blindly, you know, you can draw a line when they're like, hey, like I want to get like, you know, this $3,000, you know, Gucci bag or something like that.
Yeah.
But like, if they want to be like, hey, I'm thinking about going to school to, you know, pursue some career, you can help fund that because you have the financial freedom and flexibility to do that. Or they're like, you know, I was thinking like we could send, you know, I want a dog or something like that. So these are things you can do if you have the financial freedom. So,
but can you, you need to be able to get that financial freedom while
financial freedom is one thing. I, you know, we're harping on it with me, but I think there's a difference between financial freedom and overextending yourself in an uncertain market. And I think like right now I can make excuses. I can make a great case as to why, you know, buying a duplex at the shore is a good idea, but also could go belly up if things don't go right. Are people going to be going to the shore? What's going to, so I can just work my 9 to 5 now and see how student loans break out. Cause like, I don't know, were we supposed to get $10,000 if Biden wins? And then what happens if Trump wins? If Trump wins, it's just going to get delayed another 6 months.
Yeah. There's no, so, I don't think there's any right now. A lot of people are just riding it out. So there's no I agree with that. Just
change.
Just having a job right now is great in today's economy. But I just wanted to ask that question because you were so adamant about it on our ride, about the financial freedom, about having those goals. So, but I do understand that I wasn't trying to push you into answering something you weren't comfortable answering. And I get it. And you're going to end up starting an amazing podcast. I know that's what you're going to do. And I wanted to ask you about,
being here. Real quick, I personally like the someday.
Yeah. Someday doesn't come. Yeah.
I like that. I like that. I don't know what you would call that, but I like that way of thinking.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to get trapped up. You should be thinking about all those things whenever you start something versus just, all right, I'm going to get this and then this will come.
You need to start. Yeah.
You have to be thinking about all of them when you start versus
getting everything, getting all your ducks in a row.
Yeah. And that'll magically make you have these things later on the road.
Yeah.
It works like that.
It is. You need to, that comes down to the minimum viable product idea, which is, it's better to just get started with something and then improve upon it, rather than just wait till everything's perfect and everything's, all the conditions are right. And and then moving forward, because they might never be right. Whereas if you just start, like Airbnb, when it started, it's so much different than what it was when they started their company. Mm-hmm. It's a completely different company, but they just started something and struck gold.
Yeah.
So, and I wanted to, can I talk about your company?
Yeah, definitely.
So with Mr. K Produce, right?
MRK
Produce.
Yeah, I don't know. But
you talked about all these ideas that you want to eventually do, but you're going to start with produce. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved that idea of just starting with something. Mm-hmm. What was the idea behind, what was the inspiration behind starting the company in the first place?
It was really because of COVID.
Yeah.
And I had moved to another state and suddenly COVID hit and I was furloughed, didn't have a job and didn't have anything to do, and was in a new area with, you know, so much free time.
Yeah.
So I had to do something. And it's always something that I've liked and enjoyed, but you know, somebody gave me the idea. I was talking to one of our friends and they were like, just talking, and this was something that some other people within his industry that he works in was doing, and I was just like, you know what, might as well do some research or just kind of
throw some trailers out there.
Yeah. And you know, just really started as a hobby. It's kind of like, I'm just gonna do this as a hobby, just as a way to fill some time.
Yeah.
And luckily, I mean, one thing because of COVID, the benefit was I didn't really have to perform. I didn't really have to do anything like
crazy.
Yeah, you weren't relying on it. I didn't have to set a ton of goals. I didn't have to say, oh, I need to, you know, hit this sales mark or, you know, create, do all these processes or tasks all yeah. in a row. I could kind of just ease right into it.
Yeah.
So it kind of morphed into something as I went. I had the flexibility starting it as a hobby to kind of see, you know, a little bit what it might become after starting, you know, small.
And in 2020, it's so helpful that you didn't need like a brick and mortar
yeah.
store. You can kind of start with an idea small and grow it from a website
yeah.
or like make some calls.
Yeah.
And has it already like transformed into something different than what you started it
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All online, you know, minimal, you know, yeah, absolutely. Thinking about what people need now and what people need in the future has
yeah.
absolutely formed what it kind of, what I envision it to be 6 months down the road.
Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely.
How much of everything you do is on the internet? Is it all of it so far?
Pretty much, you know, pretty much everything. You know, everything with the customer is online.
Yeah.
Or will be online. So I hope to at some point have a little bit of interaction with the customer.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously
yeah.
we're doing delivery, but like
it's tough right now to do that.
Yeah, it's tough right now. So.
Man, that's a lot of fun. When I saw the website, I was just so pumped
for what you're doing. You. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very exciting.
I'm pumped too.
And now you're getting it started on the East Coast because I saw you still have your California farms on there.
Yeah.
So are there any challenges on the East Coast versus the West Coast for the produce boxes?
Yeah. The variety and the options and the weather out
yeah.
on the West Coast just
so much better for everything.
yeah. They're so far ahead of what they can provide year round basis to individual customers with the farmers markets and
yeah.
the grocery stores and the variety of produce, fruits and vegetables that they have year round is crazy.
And
so there's stuff here that matches what they do, but it's just at a much more limited basis, and a lot of the better stuff typically goes to the restaurants seemingly so
yeah. And what is the website just for people watching right now and for the future viewers of the podcast?
Yeah, it's mrkproduce.com.
And you have Twitter, Instagram?
Just Instagram right now.
Okay.
MRK_produce, I think it is.
Nice.
So that's what I'm working with now. Yeah.
Working
on some things. Hopefully should be set up in 2-3 weeks.
Okay. And can people sign up for like an email list in the meantime?
Yeah.
All right. So go on the website.
Will you be picking the individual blueberries that I order
from? Yes. That is one thing that I enjoy. Well, I enjoyed doing that out west was I picked everything. So
beautiful.
What is inbound marketing? So the comment
is, show the camera your hands real quick, just so they know what we're doing.
The beautiful. Comment is inbound marketing. What is inbound marketing? Because I assume that's a good tip.
I don't know what inbound marketing is.
So Richard's company is Acer Inbound. I'll give him a plug real quick. And I already told him, I told him you're
Needs
probably going
to
want to chat about it.
Yes.
I like to.
So what do you think?
That's
about,
what drives the customers to your website.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah. I love it. And Andy, when
yeah,
you
when
start your
chat,
podcast, we're going to have
Richard.
To do that
of
too.
Of course. I don't want to give away any insights
yeah.
I've got for Matt. So we'll talk about it off air. Cause it's
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you have a question though, or you're holding off?
I'll ask it. So part of your marketing strategy now isn't, none of it's like on foot. You're not just handing out feelers and stuff like that.
Word of mouth.
Yeah.
Instagram ads.
Because
we're the
my
biggest extent.
Yeah, my parents are going to Costco and they're also going to Wegmans.
Mm-hmm.
They also go to Walmart, Produce Junction. And when they go, inevitably they pick something that's no good.
Yeah.
And they always have to take it back.
Okay.
So if they had someone that was picking it for them,
mm-hmm.
you need to move a little closer to
them. If they had someone that was picking it for them and like gave a guarantee, you know, to a certain extent that it wouldn't be rotten, they would probably go with you, especially with when the situation is like it is now, where like they don't really want to go out at all.
Yeah.
So those are the places where their quality is so far below where it needs to be that like so.
Yeah.
Just like handing it out to people that are coming in those stores.
That's the hope.
Yeah.
Is, the options are better quality. You're getting them before. You're shortening the life cycle of the farm to your actual house.
Yeah. You're not getting run for
your, you know, you're not go. You're cutting out the grocery store, which there's services that do that now.
Yeah.
But in this area, most of those services are, you know, and good for them. They've grown and they're a large scale. But there's a lot of local farms and businesses that don't use those delivery or picking services. So yeah. There's a market.
They're not tapped in.
They're not. Yeah. There's a market to have kind of tying a network of local area business produce and stuff to get what you need.
Yeah, I think that's, I really do think that's the future. I've been thinking it for a while with meat too.
Yeah.
Local meat, yes. Because I've been searching around for a local meat share because I'm kind of, it's something about going to the grocery store and buying meat just like any other product kind of bothers me, not knowing where it's coming from and all that. I want to take part in something more local, more grass-fed beef. Andy apparently has to go.
No, I don't. go ahead. I have a side project in my head right now. If you want me to talk about it, I want you to finish your statement. Finish what you're saying, dude.
No, I lost track.
Okay, I got it. I'm hopping
right.
in.
No, he's right.
Yeah.
I was going to say, as a side project format, he could probably, you know, I don't know if the word's petition, but you could go to your local municipality and say, hey, like, there are a lot of people growing fruits and veggies in their backyards. Let me, you know, get in touch with them and set up a crop share.
Yeah.
For them. Because
that,
like,
would be awesome.
That's
that,
like,
would be.
And then they would subsidize you. They would pay you to do that. You'd be a government employee. You probably get a pension and you'd be the guy. And then they could set that job up. That would be a real job, unlike the ones that people
would
are
not
paid
be
for
a bullshit job.
Yeah,
yeah.
You'd be setting, you'd be job. Coordinating these, you know, home growers, right? Right. Which,
yeah,
know.
And I would have, you would, I would have to look into, you know, I don't know how much you can monetize that as a business, other than if like home growers, I don't know what the rules are for actually selling
quality
those products.
You might need to be certified.
Yeah,
and
there might be some things that you need to go through to do that. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to, I would like to set it up where you're adding business to these farms. So, you know, they're going to set aside a certain percentage of what they grow to wholesale or grocery stores. And then, you know, whatever percentage is left over, try and capitalize on that. And say, this is another avenue. Because a lot of them don't utilize online platform to sell.
No, yeah, so for sure.
Give
probably
them
most
a little
at
bit
this
more
point.
Of a market to have their product offered to the general public.
Yeah, and New Jersey's the Garden State, so
Garden State.
You're in the Garden State now. Welcome back to the Garden State.
You drive down
feels
some
good.
Of those roads in like Salem and Cumberland County.
Mm-hmm.
They got fruit stands all the way up and down.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
You just knock on their door and you're like, hey, you ever heard of the internet? No.
What's up?
That's
all right. Internet.
I'm gonna call. I know we didn't speak. We didn't.
We haven't talked about any habits.
We didn't
yet.
Take about. We didn't talk. Yeah, we did. We did. We talked about habits,
let's
but
set
we
some
didn't.
Goals.
We didn't talk about
in.
Sober October at all. But
are we done? Are we calling it? I don't have to go yet.
Okay.
All right,
good.
Well, here's the thing. I'm gonna call. I'm gonna call this, a podcast. I'm gonna take a quick break on here. And then we can start over
another
and podcast. Do a little bit more of an after hours more. All
right.
This was a legit. Yeah, this was a good podcast. And thank you for listening. And everyone that's live on Twitch, we're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Cue the music.